Morning, West End. It's so good to see you all this morning, and we want to say a special welcome to all the mothers and grandmothers that are here today. We're so excited to have all of you with us and to honor the mothers that are in our congregation. So please rise in body and spirit for our call to worship. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. How great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name. Come and see what God has done. How awesome his works in man's behalf. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let them not rise up in rebellion against him. Praise our God, O people. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He preserves our lives and keeps our feet from slipping. It's this God that calls us and welcomes us here this morning to worship him. In the same way that he has welcomed us, let us turn to each other and offer a welcome.
His love and mercy washing over all our sin. The people sing, the people sing. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
announcements for this morning. First of all, this Wednesday, the deacons are hosting a dinner for the seniors of our congregation. Hors d'oeuvres start at 5:30, and there will be dessert, hymn singing, and just a sweet time of fellowship for everyone. So just remember that if you've RSVP'd for it. Next, the reservations for the church retreat are due today. There's a box set up on a little table next to the kitchen, so you can turn your forms in there. And speaking of the retreat, they are going to continue with the popular cereal walk game. If you've never been to the church retreat like myself and don't know what that is, it would be a good time for you to turn in your registration form so you can find out what that game is. But if you would like to donate a box of cereal or two for that game, please feel free to do that, and it will be greatly appreciated for everyone who is looking forward to this game. Also on the table in the back, there are CAL forms for those of you who maybe aren't familiar with CAL. It stands for Community Outreach Week. It's a time for our middle schoolers to come together and serve the community. We have some service projects set up, in the area, but we would also love to be able to serve our church body and community. So if you or someone you know could use some help around the house, doing yard work, housework, cleaning out the garage, power washing, whatever you need, there are forms in the back that you can sign up. You can turn those in to myself, to Brian, or the church office, and we can try to send a few middle schoolers over this summer to give you a hand. Along with Community Outreach Week, that same week of June 20 through 23 is also CSI Camp. There are signs behind the Welcome Center, so if you would like to put a sign up for that in your yard, you can go over there after the service and pick one up to put in front of your yard. Then before we go to the Lord in prayer, we have a few church family updates. They're in the bulletin, but we want to extend our sympathies and our comfort to the family and friends of Floyd Veenstra, who passed away this week. His service was Thursday. We want to continue to pray for them, pray for Nancy, his wife, the family, as they grieve and remember his life. Tom Boyle had heart attack, and he's still in recovery. He's improving, but we need to continue to lift him up in prayer. Gina DeMott has surgery on Monday and is expected to be a pretty long recovery, so we would like to ask you all to join us in prayer for her this tomorrow and in the days to come. Alma Kuiper is still recovering from her hip surgery, so if you have time to pray for her, go visit, send a card. I'm sure she would just be so appreciative of that. And we also want to remember Pastor Brian and Alicia as they are off today to head to Israel for their trip of the Holy Land. Please be praying for their safety and travel. Pray for their kids and their family that are here still. I'm going to be missing them dearly. And just pray that it will be a wonderful time for them as a couple as they get to do this trip, that they would learn, that they would grow, and it'd be a time of refreshment and encouragement after just a long year it's been. So please come before the Lord with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a good, loving God. You are our Heavenly Father, and you are our protector and are the one who goes before us. But God, we also see in your word that you also describe yourself at times as a mother. Lord, in the Psalms it says, we have stilled and quieted our souls like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child in my soul. And Lord, we know that though you are fierce and courageous, Lord, we also know that you are a comforter, that you are a nurturer, that you are a bringer of life. And like a mother, you welcome us to yourself, to come to you when we need comfort, when we need compassion, when we feel lost. Lord, you hold us close. And we thank you for the example of that part of your character that you have given us in our mothers. Lord, we thank you for the women in our congregation who have loved their families, who have sacrificed for their families, who have raised up children to walk with you. Lord, we praise you for that, for your faithfulness displayed in them and the way that they care for their families and the way that they have sacrificed. Lord, we know that's a picture of the way that you care and love for us. And what a beautiful picture it is. Lord, being a mother is also so hard and filled with so many challenges. So we pray for the mothers in our congregation, in our community around the world, Lord, who are struggling maybe with discouragement, with self-doubt, Lord, feeling overwhelmed or overlooked, neglected. Lord, we pray that you would be close to them, that you would encourage them, that you would lift them up, Lord, that they would find their comfort, their strength in you. Lord, we pray for those who maybe are missing their mothers today. Father, we pray a special blessing on them, as maybe today is a day where they remember those that they have lost, who have gone away. God, we pray your comfort for them, that they would remember that you are able to fill that, that you are able to be their comforter, their support, Lord, in this time of loss, and remembering that. And Lord, we pray for those who maybe didn't have the best mothers or who have struggled with their relationship. Lord, may they find peace. May they find their hope in you as well. And Lord, may this be a day where they are able to celebrate the good things that you have given them. And Lord, we pray for the men of our congregation, the husbands, the spouses, the fathers. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen them and encourage them as they lead their families. Lord, as they support their wives, that they would love and cherish their wives. Lord, we pray for the children of our congregation, that they would honor their mothers, that they would be respectful, and Lord, that they would walk in the ways that their mothers teach them. God, we thank you for the good gifts of family that you give us. Lord, as we come to your word today, we pray that you would open our eyes and our hearts to hear from you. Lord, may your spirit fill Pastor Dan as he brings us your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, West End family. And again, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and grandmothers. We love you so much. We appreciate what you do for us. And we just thank God especially for the way that you modeled the love of God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to us. It just shaped and formed who we are. So thank you. So there are few things in life that are more painful than seeing something, you know, that should be respected and valued and prized, receiving dishonor instead of receiving honor, right? To take something that should be, you know, cherished and esteemed and to dishonor it, I mean, that's just terrible. You shouldn't do that. I mean, we see that sometimes, like, on the news now and then, you know, churches are burned. We go, wait a minute, that's a house of God. That's a place of worship. It's a sacred space. That shouldn't happen, right? And we just hate it when we see that. Or when a great piece of art is intentionally destroyed because somebody wants to make a point or something. We go, it shouldn't be that way, right? You don't dishonor something that should be treated with reverence and awe. You just don't do that. So today, we're talking about something that's so significant, that's so important, that the Bible itself says you dare not dishonor it. In fact, the Bible puts it positively, right? Bible says, honor your mother. Honor your mother. Now, obviously, fathers are thrown in there too. It's one of the Ten Commandments, so we love you too, dads. But today, we're focusing on moms and the women in our life. The Bible says that motherhood is worthy of honor. Far greater honor than it generally receives in our culture, in our day. In fact, this is the way that God set it up. From the very beginning, this is the way God designed it. He said, I want husbands and wives to love each other, to stay faithful to each other. I want there to be homes where there are parents and children, where the parents teach their kids to know and love and serve God, where the kids love and respect their parents. This is the way God set it up. He says, this is the way I designed it from the very beginning. And so I want to go back to the Old Testament, towards the beginning of God's story with His people, to the book of Deuteronomy, and just read a couple of verses from Deuteronomy, well, one from Deuteronomy 5, and then more verses from Deuteronomy 6. So this is where the people of God are just going into the promised land, right? They're beginning their life with God, and God is just forming this community of people that are going to bless the whole rest of the world. And God says to him at the very beginning, He says, if you hope to live out your redemptive purpose, if you hope to be a blessing to the people around you and the world around you, then first step is you gotta have healthy marriages and you gotta have healthy families. So one verse from Deuteronomy 5, then a few verses from Deuteronomy 6 where God talks about the dynamic in chapter 6 that ought to exist in our homes and families. So if you're able, rise in physically or in spirit and let's listen to the Word of God today. I might have to read it off the big screen. I can't see it. Okay, so this is from Deuteronomy chapter 5. Basic verse, this is where it all starts. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And then we go to the next chapter, Deuteronomy 6, and now God talks a little bit more detail about what He wants our families and homes to look like. He says, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all His decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And this is the word of the Lord. You can sit down. So it's pretty simple, right? Bible says, honor your mother. This is just central to everything. I mean, the very first step in living a long life, a productive life, a God-honoring life, the way God set it up kind of life, the first step toward all of that is just real simple. Just honor your mother. But But the truth is that motherhood is not too high on the totem pole the way things stack up in our culture these days, right? I mean, you don't get your face on magazine covers for being a great mom. You don't get asked to sit on corporate boards. You don't draw huge bonuses. You know, you just hold the fate of the world in your hands. That's all. Tony Campolo wrote about this some time ago. He said, "I love the way that my wife expresses it." He says, "I love it at a party, you know, when somebody comes up to my wife, like a lawyer or a doctor or somebody real fancy like that, and then in a real condescending voice says to her, 'And what do you do, my dear?'" You know, kind of a disguised put down of homemakers by those who think that the only significant work in society is done by those who have some sort of a professional vocation or something. And Campolo says, this is what his wife says. She says, "Oh, well, I'm socializing two Homo sapiens into the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian tradition so that they can become agents of the transformation of the social order into the kind of eschatological utopia God intended from the beginning of creation. And what do you do?" "Oh, I'm a lawyer or a doctor," they say, something, you know, like that, right? This is huge. Bible says, honor your mother. Now, I just want to take a few minutes this morning just to talk really simply about three ways that we can honor our moms and the moms around us. Three ways that all of us can carry out this commandment in Scripture from God to honor our moms and fatherhood in general. But just before I get to those three things, I just want to say one word about what the Bible does not say. Okay, Bible does not say, honor your mother if, you know, honor your mother if she was a well-adjusted, skilled nurturer. Or honor your mother if she was smart and bright and loving. It just says honor. Now, obviously, this is going to be harder for some than others. And I know for some of you, there's maybe a relationship that's got some conflict in it, that's got a fair amount of pain in it. I get that. None of us are perfect. All of our families are dysfunctional to a certain degree. Let's just be honest. So this is going to be tough for some folks. Bible doesn't say, enjoy your mom. Well, it's nice if that happens, but, you know, sometimes it's hard to kind of enjoy our parents, and you still have to honor them and respect them. It doesn't say, live for your parents' approval. It doesn't say, do everything your mom tells you to do. It says, honor her. That's it, just honor her. Okay, we all agree with that. How do we do that? Well, let me just give you three things today that you can kind of stick in your pocket to carry out this basic command from Scripture. Okay, three things. Pay attention, build up, and express gratitude. There it is. Pay attention to your mom. Just notice her. And then build her up. Express her how valuable she is in your life. And then figure out ways that you can express some gratitude to her. Alright, so let's just kind of look at these one at a time. First of all, pay attention. So when you dishonor someone, you just kind of ignore them. Right? Like, oh, like they're not there. So to honor someone just means, first of all, just paying attention to them. Honoring begins with just noticing who she is and what she does and what role she plays in your life. Honoring just means knowing. It's just paying attention. You know, to start with, even if your mom was a very imperfect person, you can honor her by just simply acknowledging the sheer effort that's involved in being a mom. Because the truth is, whoever your mom was did not have an easy job. Now, I'm not thinking about anybody in particular, any individual people here, but I'm just saying collectively, motherhood involves pain. Right from the very beginning. So, when we found out that my wife, Nan, was going to be a mom for the first time, we signed up for this class. Remember? Did some of you take the class? We signed up. It's called Lamaze. We took the Lamaze class and we signed up with all these other couples and we went to the class and studied together. I have to tell you though, that they are not fully candid in this Lamaze class about what it means to have a baby. Not that I should talk, but in the Lamaze class, they never use the word pain. Did you notice this? They say, oh no, we can overcome the pain. You know, we got the focal point thing, and we got the breathing thing, and we can overcome it. So they never use the word pain. What they do say is they say to the women, now look, you may experience some discomfort, but they never use the word pain. So that's what they told my wife. And then they told me, you know, my role, you know what the husbands are called? Yeah, we're called the coaches. Right? I was the coach. Now this seems strange to me because I've seen coaches. Football coaches, you know, basketball coaches on the sidelines screaming and yelling and sometimes even throwing chairs. And I just want to say that in that room, if one of us was acting that way, you know, screaming and throwing chairs, it wasn't me. I wasn't doing that. So our first child coming along, and yeah, it's going to be it was a difficult labor. I mean, over 15 hours. But we took the Lamaze class, so we know what to do. We got the focal point. We got the breathing thing. All right, good. I shouldn't talk, but it was hard, but we had a child. Awesome. So our second child came, and it was a bit easier. The labor was even shorter. I said, man, we're good at this Lamaze thing. This is awesome. We're getting the hang of this now. And then came our third child. And that's where things took a turn for the worse, because he was, I guess for lack of a better term, I know there's an official term, but I call it sunny side up. I mean, I know there's an official term, but this is where he was turned around so that the hardest part of his skull was pressing against my wife's spine. And so that every time she had a contraction, it was just excruciating. And I remember at one point, the doctor just kind of reached in and turned the child around. It's like, she let out a scream like I've never heard my wife scream in my life. And I said to her, dear, are you experiencing some discomfort? She did not appreciate that. I think I had to duck or something because she took a swing at me. She's nice otherwise. She's the most grace-filled person I know. But at that moment, watch out. I was not being the encouraging coach that I thought I was going to be. But all of you, right, who are moms know that labor is not the last time in motherhood where you experience effort and pain. The truth is, from the day that a woman becomes a mom and gives birth to a child to the day that one of them dies, a mom is faced with all kinds of decisions. I mean, your mom was faced with a million decisions that she didn't know how to handle any more than you know how. I mean, she didn't know because there's no school that you go to get licensed in this kind of thing. You know, when do you comfort? You know, when do you challenge? You know, when do you be tender? When do you be stern? When do you draw boundaries? When do you give permission? When do you let them date? Who do you let them date? All these things. And the thing is, your mom was not perfect. And neither was her mom before her. And part of honoring your mother, I think, is just noticing the difficulty of the task that she faced and just acknowledging the sheer effort that she made in your life. You know, when you were a kid, you know, and you looked at your parents because they seem larger than life, right, when you're younger and all that, kids think that parents just kind of choose the way they are. But when you're a kid and you kind of think of your parents and you look at them, and if your parents were cranky or strict or cold, you know, you think as a kid, that's because they just want to be that way. And the day comes one day when you realize that your mom is just an ordinary, fallible, fallen human being. And part of honoring your parents just means giving them the grace. Yeah, kids, we got to give our parents some grace too, just to be human, because they had their own parents. They had their own set of fears and hurts and challenges and all the rest. And part of honoring our moms and our parents means just taking the time just to get to know them, just pay attention to them. It means things like, you know, taking an interest in the history of her life. Maybe finding out what the details of her life were, and then honoring those details. Honoring her story and asking her about it. Respecting the fact that you don't know everything that there is to know about your mom. There is some mystery that she has. So knowing her, just the work, the effort, her story, I mean, that's the first part of honoring your mom. So maybe take some time today and ask her, "Hey mom, tell me about when you were a kid. Let me hear your story. How'd you meet dad? How'd it go when I was born? How was I when I was five?" And just get to know her and say, "Man, that's a lot of effort, mom. Thanks a lot." So that's the first part. And then there's a second part. You know, to dishonor something or somebody is to tear them down. Right? Just to belittle them or to devalue them. So to honor someone means, you know, to build them up. To magnify them. To create value in something. The word that's used in the Bible, in the Old Testament, to honor, it's the Hebrew word kavod. Kavod. And it just literally means to be heavy. It has to do with being weighty. Or substantive. So the second thing it means to honor your mom is just to reflect on and appreciate the sense of value that she has in your life. It means to give her a place of honor. I mean, we talk about, you know, the seat of honor, right? To give your mom just a place of honor in your life, to allow her words to carry some weight with you. Now that doesn't mean that you're going to do everything that she says, but you just allow her to have a kind of weightiness in your life. The sense of what the Bible talks about when it speaks about, you know, honor, let me just give you a little bit of a picture of it. You know, it's what happens when you look at something and you're struck by the value and just the wonder of it all. And you look and you go, "Man, that's awesome. Wow." You know, like you're watching LeBron James, you know, slam dunk one, right? Or you watch Tiger Woods hit a beautiful shot from the sand trap, you know, an inch from the hole. You just look and you go, "Wow, that's awesome. Impressive." When you see your mom, you know, if you're going to do that today, maybe later on, if your relationship is healthy enough and you're okay enough with this, you can do it. Just kind of take a good long look at your mom in her face and go, "Wow, you're awesome, mom. You're just awesome." When you honor someone, you give expression to the fact that they have value. And you just go, "Wow." God says that when the parent-child thing works right, and I know it doesn't always work right, it doesn't always. But when it works right, when a mom has not perfectly, but when a mom has sincerely tried to pour her life out for her kids ought to at some point come back sometime, and just look at her and say, "Wow, good work." You know, just to tell her that she wasn't crazy, you know? Because, you know, we live in a world that says it's crazy to pour your life out on little kids. When you could be doing so many other things. You could be making money somewhere. You could be climbing some corporate ladder somewhere. I mean, to pour your life out on something that's not going to win you anything from this world's point of view. Our world looks at that and goes, "Well, that's just kind of crazy. That's a waste." And a mom just needs for her children to kind of come back to her sometimes and just go, wow, I really appreciate that. And just let her know the value that she has. Honor involves, you know, not just, you know, building up with words. You can do that, but also giving things. Do you have a really nice gift for your mom today? If not, hurry up, go out and get it and bring it to her later today or tonight. They like gifts. Let me let you know a secret. They like flowers. Okay? Flowers. Or giving things like your time. Well, there are all kinds of examples, right? Call on your mom up and say, hey mom, can I take you out for lunch? Let's just go sit and have lunch together. The weather's getting nice. Let's go sit outside, have some lunch. Or, hey, can I come over and help you clean out that closet? Let's just go through some stuff and let me give you a hand. All kinds of things you can do. You know, sometimes honoring your parents means giving them time, giving them help, gestures of love, building them up. All right, are you following so far? Honor your mom, first of all, means just getting to know her, paying attention, right? Not ignoring her. And then it means with your words and with your deeds, building her up and not tearing her down. And then lastly, to dishonor somebody or something means to just sort of take them for granted. You know, like you just take them for granted. Like, they're always going to be there. Like, you have a right to it. Like, you're maybe entitled to all this. That's to dishonor. To honor means to cultivate and express gratitude. It means to cultivate and just express gratitude. So, a few years ago, there was this country western song where a kid gives his mom a bill for all the stuff that he's done around the house. You know, this kid is just kind of sick and tired of doing all these chores around the house, and so he just kind of feels used and abused, and so he writes out this bill, and he itemizes it, and he gives a bill to his mom for all the stuff that he's been doing around the house. And the mom gets it, and she just goes down the list for making the bed. And then he writes out how much she owes him for that. For mowing the grass. And he writes out how much she owes him for that. For doing the dishes. And so on. And he itemizes it. At the bottom, he gives the grand total. And he sends his mom a bill for all the stuff that he'd been doing around the house. So, this mom writes out her own bill. And sends it back to her son. And this is what it looks like. For bringing you into the world, no charge. For rocking you all night long when you were sick, no charge. For wiping your nose and bandaging your knees and kissing your owies 1,000 times, no charge. For scraping and scrounging and living on dirt all my life so you could have the best. Kind of a guilt thing going on there. No charge. I tell you, I felt so guilty by the end of that song that I called my mom and I told her about that song and said, man, mom, how can I say thanks? And she said that she wanted the money. I don't know. No, she didn't say that. Stop it. She didn't say that. See, the point of the song is that a child owes a debt to a loving mother that can never be repaid, right? You know, when the parenting deal works right, a child owes a debt to her mom that's just simply unpayable. And when the parent-child thing works right, the mother in her grace says, it's all yours. No charge. Now, how in the world do you respond to something like that? Well, when it works right, the grown-up child will make his or her life a kind of act of gratitude back to that mom. You know, by becoming the person that God intended you to be, that wise parents wanted you to be, that a mother got down on her knees every night and prayed for you to be. One of the best ways that you can honor your mom is to become the person that she prayed for you to be. A person who knows and loves and serves God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. See, when you were a child, you received from the generation before you a gift that you could never repay. I mean, you got a gift of life, you got the gift of love, you got a gift of sense of belonging, and the way that the deal is supposed to work, and again, it doesn't work this way, and sometimes reconciliation things need to happen, sometimes it just becomes impossible, and you need to find other ways of honoring. But the way that the deal is supposed to work, when you get it right, is that when you grow up, you kind of receive this gift, and then when you become an adult, you give that gift that you received, and you give it to the next generation that comes after you. As one great writer on the family put it, says, we live between give and take. We live between give and take. Now, sometimes it gets messed up. And for whatever reason, parents end up sort of taking from their children, and children grow up kind of feeling deprived and bitter, and so they feel like they don't really have much to give to the next generation. But the way that it's supposed to work, the way that God set it up, is that you receive something as a child, and then in turn, you take that wonderful gift and you give it to the next generation. And part of honoring your mom, part of the way this happens, is that you become a servant to God. You become a servant to other people. And as you grow up, you cross over that line. And you become one of the givers. And you use those gifts, as imperfect as they were, you take those gifts of life and of love and of belonging and care, and you build those into the next generation. Whether or not you have kids, you can build into the next generation whatever it is that you have received from the one before. And if some of the patterns, you know, that you grew up with, I guess we're destructive or something, then part of the honoring process is, you know, I'm gonna have those patterns stop. Now, I don't want to pass those on to the next generation. I'm gonna do whatever I have to do, you know, to kind of stop those destructive things, and I'm just gonna pass on the gift and the good stuff. Now, some of you are here this morning and you have parents that have aged or declined in health, and the roles have kind of switched, right? You've gone from being the caretakers to being the caregivers for your parents. And I just want to say just one quick word about this, because there is honestly some pain involved in this kind of caregiving. See, when you care for a child, you know, when your parents cared for you when you were a little kid, and when you care for a child, it can be exhausting, right? But there's this kind of hopefulness to it. You know, this child is full of potential. You don't know what's going to happen to this child. You know, there are times in your life, moms, when you feel like you're going to be changing diapers for the rest of your life. But you know you won't. You know you won't. And you wonder, who knows what this child will grow up to be? I mean, maybe my care for this child will be a gift to the whole world in some way. But when you care for an aging parent, it's a different story. Many of you are there these days, or the days are coming when you will be there, and you watch this person in your life who seemed at one point omnipotent to you, and they begin this gradual descent. And what they once did with ease, now they do laboriously or poorly or eventually not at all. And you have to help them with their finances. You have to help them just do everyday things of life. Maybe it even gets to the point where you have to feed the one who once fed you. And you have to change the diapers of the one who once changed yours. Only now, it's not a hopeful thing anymore. This is not a bundle of potential. These hands are not going to remember how to use a knife and a fork again. This is a gradual process of loss that is only going to end in death. And to all of you who are there, and some of you are, and to those of you who are going to be there someday, I just want to say this. You need to know this. None of your care is in vain. Not a second of it. Not an ounce of your effort. All of your care is precious in the eyes of God. It is to Him a thing of beauty and of grace, and it fulfills the cycle of those who live between give and take. You are giving yourself to the very first commandment that faces a human life from the moment it enters this world, which is honor your father and your mother. For God says in the Bible, right? Death is not the end of the story. And for those who love Him, for those who have given their lives to Jesus Christ, who have received the forgiveness of God through the death and resurrection of Jesus, for those who have made this Jesus their Lord and Savior, death is just really a new beginning. And the truth is, in Christianity, this kind of caregiving to an aging parent is a very hopeful thing too. It's very hopeful. Now, some of you are here this morning and you have moms that are no longer alive. And so far this day has been very painful for you. And you shed a few tears already, and there are more tears to come. But the truth is that when you remember your mom, when you thank God for your mom, when you tell her story to your kids and to your grandkids, you help keep alive the gift that was given to you, and you honor your mom too. It's just really simple, people. It's simple. The Bible says, honor your mother. And so here's what I want to do as we close today. This is just a gift for all the moms here. Just as a gift. There's this book. Little book. It's a kid's book. It just says something in a way that's very hard to say. I mean, we read it to our kids. Maybe some of you have this. You read it to your kids and all of that. I just want to read a few lines from this book just as a gift. That goes from a mom to a child, and then from that grown-up child to another generation. So I just want to invite you, as we close and as I read these words, just to think about your mom as best you can and honor her on this important day. So, here's how it goes. A mother held her new baby and very slowly rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she held him, she sang, "I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." The baby grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was 2 years old. And he ran all around the house. He pulled all the books off the shelves. He pulled the food out of the refrigerator. He took his mother's watch and flushed it down the toilet. Sometimes his mother would say, "This kid is driving me crazy." But at nighttime, when that 2-year-old was quiet, she opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, looked up over the side of the bed, and if he was really asleep, because when children are sleeping, it's just all innocence, right? When she was asleep, she picked him up and rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. While she rocked him, she sang, "I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." That little boy grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was 9 years old, and he never wanted to come in for dinner. He never wanted to take a bath. And when grandma visited, he always said bad words. Sometimes his mother wanted to sell him to the zoo. But at night, When he was asleep, the mother quietly opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, looked up over the side of the bed. If he was really asleep, she picked up that 9-year-old boy and rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, "I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." The boy grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was a teenager. He had strange friends and he wore strange clothes and he listened to strange music. Sometimes the mother felt like she was in a zoo. But at nighttime, when that teenager was asleep, the mother opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, looked up over the side of the bed. If he was really asleep, she picked up that great big boy and rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. While she rocked him, she sang, "I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." The teenager grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was a grown-up man. He left home and got a house across town. But sometimes, on dark nights, the mother got into her car and drove across town. Okay, this is a little creepy, but you get the point. If all the lights at her son's house were out, she opened his bedroom window, crawled across the floor, looked up over the side of the bed. I know, I don't want this to happen either. But if that great big man was really asleep, she picked him up, rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, "I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." Well, that mother, she got older. She got older and older and older. One day she called up her son and said, "You'd better come see me because I'm very old and sick." So her son came to see her. When he came in the door, she tried to sing the song. She sang, "I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always." But she couldn't finish because she was too old and sick. The son went up to his mother. He picked her up, rocked her back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and he sang this song. "I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my mommy you'll be." When the son came home that night, he stood for a long time at the top of the stairs. Then he went into the room where his very new baby daughter was sleeping. He picked her up in his arms and very slowly rocked her back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while he rocked her, he sang, "I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." And that's just the truth, isn't it? About all of us as human beings, we just live, all of us, between give and take. We live between give and take. We're all at different points on that line between give and take, but all of us are in there somewhere, right? Give and take. And your mother, whoever she was just a flawed, fallible, imperfect person, as we all are. I know, sometimes there's conflict, sometimes there's pain, I get that. But the Bible says that when God thought up motherhood, He thought it was an honorable thing. And when God looked at a mother, and when God looked at the heart of a mother, He went, "Wow, that's awesome. That's exactly the way I want this to be set up. I want there to be godly moms who are married to godly husbands, who raise godly children, who have healthy families, who bless the rest of the world." That's a pretty awesome idea, isn't it? Thank God. Let's pray. Lord, what an amazing thing is mother love. Lord, I pray now for all the moms who are here in this room, for all the moms that are represented by those here in this room. I just pray, God, that you know, where there is pain, that you will bring healing. But I pray, God, for every one of us, to the extent that it's possible, that you would somehow allow us to find the words, find the ways, find the deeds, to let those who gave us life know how deeply they are treasured. And we thank you for the amazing gift of them. Thank you for their reckless love that you have shown to them, that they have shown to us. And so we pray for them in Jesus' name. Amen. receive God's blessing, the grace of Jesus Christ that we have experienced from our mothers is yours to keep and never lose. The love of God our Father that we have received from our moms is yours to share with those around you. The power and presence of the Holy Spirit is yours to equip you and encourage you to become the people that your mother prayed for you to become. Go in peace and honor your mom. Amen.
For us, He has opened arms. He will never fail us. He will never fail us. Lifted up, He defeated the grave. Raised to life, our God is able. In His name, we overcome. For the Lord.